with you. I'll just introduce myself a little bit to start off with. As Paul has said, my name is Paul Moores. I am a Mancunian, born and bred, born in Denton, lived in Denton from being born up to getting married when I was 20. We now live in Mosley, not a million miles away from here, but me and my wife, Lou, have been foster carers for 30-some years. And during COVID, we have been looking after two newborn babies. We were only supposed to have one, and then took another one just before COVID on the promise that they would be sort of moved on within a few weeks. But so we've ended up with 18 months of having two babies, which has sort of worn us out a bit, really. And so I've always had this dream of living near the sea. And so on the 1st of June, we are moving to Thornton Cleveleys. But I will still be working for the Leprosy Mission because I love it. I've been with the Leprosy Mission now for 4 years. And the region that I work alongside churches in is from Carlisle up in the north, right down to Stoke-on-Trent and across to the Isle of Man. So it's quite a big region. So being on the coast there won't hinder that. I'll still be coming back to Manchester. I still have lots of family here. So I'll be coming back on a regular basis. I still come back to Watch City. I can't even say that in Liverpool. Now I get thrown out of the church. I can't even mention it. But I have lots of roots here still in Manchester. So it's still going to be our base as well as the coast there. But it's absolutely lovely to be with you. It's just been such a strange old year, hasn't it? I was on the Isle of Man back at the beginning of March last year, 2020. We have a period of time during the year where we give 3 weeks of the year aside just for our churches on the Isle of Man, because we had a man that did this job before me some years ago called Derek. Some of you will remember him, Derek Hartley. And Derek had family on the Isle of Man, and so he actually went there quite a lot, and virtually every church on the island is a Leprosy Mission supporting church. And so I send a letter out at the beginning of the year and say, I'm coming to the Isle of Man between February the da-da-da to March the da-da-da, and within about 24 hours I've got 37 meetings to speak at. So it's very intense, but anyway, I'm going off at a tangent slightly here. But just to let you know, I was in a meeting on the Isle of Man when I was told, you need to get back to the UK. Lockdown is just about to happen. And literally from there until round about October, November, I didn't stand in front of a congregation for 7-8 months. And it's just a strange thing. And so we've all got used to Zoom, as Paul's been saying there. And most of what we've done over the last 12 months has been via Zoom, but it's lovely to feel things starting to open up again. And I would probably now say that every Sunday in my diary is full now, right through to sort of October, November, as churches are starting to say, yeah, we reopen again, please come and talk to us, please come and share with us. So we're getting towards the end of the tunnel, aren't we? So that's a wonderful feeling. Now, one of the things I want to share with you this morning is, you will know as a church here at Roman Road that have supported the Leprosy Mission for a long, long time, that every year as a charity, as a mission, we focus in on one particular project or one particular country at a time that we used to call World Leprosy Sunday. But it became a bit congested when everybody was focusing on just one Sunday. So it's now World Leprosy Day. And people can have a day for this cause right the way through from January to April. And this year, our campaign has revolved around the nation of Mozambique. And many of you will have been hearing and reading about some of the terrible things that are going on in that nation, as well as the fight against leprosy. There are insurgents, ISIS insurgents, that have been at work in that nation. And so please continue to pray for Mozambique. We have a wonderful work there. This campaign has revolved around setting up what we call community hubs, which is in lots of the villages in the northern part of Mozambique. We're looking to have sort of a, if you think of England, like a community centre, but it revolves around a few different things. One, obviously, the medical side of things, where we're talking to people about their condition. We're giving them some of the cures that we have for leprosy. We're giving them counsel to help them in their lifestyles in general. And we're sharing the love of God with them. And so those sort of hubs are already in place in a few villages, but we're looking to spread that to the whole of the northern part of Mozambique, in particular, a region called Cabo Delgado. Now, incredibly, in this COVID-ridden season, I'm sure you've probably heard that lots of charities have been somewhat struggling, and that it's been a whole different challenge. And I just want to stand here this morning and say, as a Christian charity, we have had to lean into God more than ever over these last 18 months or so. But absolutely amazingly, because of our supporting churches like yourselves and our just wonderful people that have stood with us, we actually, in 2020, had our best year ever. Would you believe that? And this campaign that we've had for Mozambique from January, just finishing at the back end of April, we were sort of thinking, well, in comparison to campaigns we've had in time past, we might not really do quite as well because we're just not in front of as many audiences. We're not able to reach. So everything's been done virtually. And quite amazingly, we have government support for this campaign this year, where every pound raised between January and April, they have matched it pound for pound. And our supporters have risen to that incredibly. And I just got the final figure, or a figure that's not, it's not quite final yet, but almost final figure through. And for this campaign, we've raised 2.1 million, which is better than in the year we had that sort of campaign previously. So thank you so much. It's just amazing. Everywhere I go, I feel like I'm just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a bit overwhelming, really, that people have stood with us and supported us. And so just thank you for that. And the work of the Leprosy Mission goes on. And we're working in 10 different countries, the Leprosy Mission of England and Wales, 5 in Africa, 5 in Asia. And we've got lots of challenges ahead, but we are sort of facing them head on. Obviously, the big one right now is India. And if you are able to go onto our website, we have an India appeal at the moment, literally specifically for the areas of India where we have hospitals and there are COVID problems. So if you're able to look at that, that's wonderful. No pressure. But obviously, that is a nation that is right in the eye of the storm right now, and we just need to stand with them. So, okay, and so I mentioned that our campaign was called Unconditional. And my message to you this morning is all about the unconditional love of God. It was great to sing Reckless Love at the beginning. It's one of my favourite songs. When I heard you were singing Reckless, I thought, oh, great. I was sort of in the element on the front row there. It's great. The unconditional, reckless love of God. Our God loves us in a way that we're never going to fully know until we get to heaven, are we? We're never really going to fully know how much he loves us. But we can taste of it. He wants us to taste of it. And he wants us to know that his perfect love drives out fear. That's why we had that first scripture from 1 John. It's a verse that we've been sort of encouraging each other with in the Leprosy Mission. And wherever we go, we try and encourage people with this. At this time where there is fear everywhere and where there is anxiety on every face and anxiety in lots of circumstances and nations, our God wants us to know that his perfect love drives that out. It drives it out. It comes against it. And for us individually and as a nation, we can lean upon that love and depend upon the fact that God is against fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness. That's another. I'm just getting my favourite songs and favourite scriptures out of the way this morning. That's one of my favourite scriptures. But we're talking about unconditional love. And the Oxford English Dictionary defines the word unconditional like this: not subject to any conditions. Unlimited, absolute, and unqualified. So an unconditional love doesn't expect anything back. I think Paul said this morning, we don't really do that much. It's God chasing us. He's the one that, you know, have you ever experienced this where you've sort of been out of sorts, maybe a little bit with things, and you literally think, oh, I haven't prayed for a few days. And then you suddenly, you set aside, and God's there, bang. It's almost like we take one little step towards us, and he's there. And that's the unconditional love of God. He wants to come and meet with us. Even when we take tiny steps towards him, he always takes giant steps towards us. And this unconditional campaign has been all about bringing hope and the love of God to this, as I say, region of Mozambique called Capo Delgado. And in the campaign, it's actually been headed up by Dame Darcy Bussell, who many of you will know as a world-renowned ballerina, but also probably more famously these days as a judge on Strictly Come Dancing. And it's sad, that, isn't it, really? Some of these people that have fantastic careers, they do one little thing on telly and that suddenly becomes what they're famous for. But Darcy went out to Mozambique in 2019 with her family. And somebody from the church that she attends in London mentioned to her, the leprosy mission have a work there. It'd be great to go and take your girls, to go and see it. She has two teenage girls. And she was really taken aback by what she saw out there and came back and wanted to get alongside us. And she actually made this statement: unconditional love changes a person. The love that they receive inspires them and draws them on to change the life of others. And so that's what our campaign's been about. But alongside the message of our campaign, we've had this message from the second scripture that we had this morning, which is from Ezekiel, which is all about the river of God. The river of God flowing into places that have been dry and parched and in desperate need of life. And that passage from Ezekiel it sort of sums up our God's nature. The river of God coming to where it's been dry, where there's been no fruit, where there's been no hope. That, I believe, Paul was saying earlier, the gospel is what we're about. What we're about for the people of Failsworth, the people of Mosley, the people of Thornton Cleveland, now when I go, the people of Mozambique, the gospel is all about hope, isn't it? It's all about bringing a message of hope, a message of this can be different. When the river of God turns up, your life will be different. Fruit will start to grow. Hope will start to be restored. And so Ezekiel 47, 1-12 that Paul read is the story of this young prophet Ezekiel. It's right back in 597 BC, and he is a young prophet called to be a prophet in a day when God's people were in a really bad situation. They were in exile. They were in a state of hopelessness. They'd come to the point where Jerusalem had lost God's presence from the temple. They were sort of in limbo, for want of a better phrase. What their identity had been previously, which was, we're God's people, we've got God's presence with us, was no longer the case. And he had to bring a hard message. He wasn't one of these prophets with really joyful things to say and hopeful things to say at that particular point. It sounded like his message was hard, and it was. He was talking about judgment. He was talking about hard things. And so he went through the testing process of a prophet. Are you able to still bring the message of God even when you know you're not going to get a very good response? That's the test of a prophet, isn't it? If you're just going to go and tickle people's ears with nice stuff, then don't be a prophet. Because lots of prophets have to bring stuff that ain't that popular. And so Ezekiel had gone through this testing ground. And then 14 years later, he gets this vision from God. He gets this wonderful, wonderful vision about the restoration of the temple and the river of God coming and flowing back through where his people are again. Because here's something that you can say for absolutely certain about our God. He is a restorer. He restores things. And he doesn't just do a patch-up job. We've had people in our house. We have a bamboo wood floor. And we noticed a few black spots. And we thought, what's going on there? Anyway, what had happened, our shower unit had leaked through and underneath the floor. And so the builders did this job on it. And we thought, oh, great, it looks great now. A few weeks later, it started buckling. And actually, the job they'd done wasn't that much better than it was before. And so on the face of it, it looked like they'd done a great restoration job of our floor. Actually, they'd done a bit of a patch-up. Yeah. They'd done something that wasn't much better than it was before. But with our God, when he restores something, he restores it and better. He restores it to better than before. He restores it to the best it can be. He's a restorer. And this amazing picture that he was giving to Ezekiel of the temple was just incredible. You know, I hadn't realized this until we started to put these thoughts together for this campaign. There's actually 95 Bible verses that mention just the dimensions of what the temple was going to look like. So not the actual detail, just the dimensions of how it's going to be, how it's going to look. Now, I'm going to come back to Manchester City again for a minute here. It looks like I'm obsessed, doesn't it? It looks like they're going to win the title today. Oh, dear. Anyway, my colleague, I have a lovely colleague called Chris, who does the same job as me, but down in the London region. But he was at Manchester University for a time. And one of the highlights of his stay in Manchester was he went on a guided tour of the Etihad. And the thing that impressed him the most was the fact that the seats at the side of the pitch for the home players and the home managers, etc., were heated, and for the away team, they weren't. And he thought, that's a bit of a cheat, isn't it? So I said to him, you should have gone and looked at the trophy room. That's the impressive part of it. But anyway, but the reason I'm telling you this was a guided tour of somewhere great, but this vision that God had given to Ezekiel, it was like he was taking him on the guided tour of all guided tours. He was showing him, this is what the temple's going to be like. This is how my restoration program looks in the finished article. This is what you can hope for. This is what you can now tell the people. You've been telling them hard stuff. You've been giving them rough stuff. Now you can give them the good stuff. This is how my presence is going to be in the temple. And the guided tour went through every dimension and every room and every bit of this temple. And he started to show how it was going to look, and he linked it into this picture of that the river of God flowing from the temple. And so it begins to be measured. There's a measuring starts to be talked about in the as God unfurls this vision for Ezekiel. And he talks about the water first of all coming up to the ankles. Sorry, if I walk away you won't hear it on the table. Sorry. But I stay a bit still. Up to the ankles. And so it starts to affect a little. And then up to the knees. And then up to the waist. And then finally, you can only cross this river by swimming. It's that deep. And so you're in it. You're now in the flow of what God's got. And also the vision then goes on to talk about the Dead Sea. So there's a reach with this river as well. It's not just going to be local and for those who are in the sort of core of things. It's going to reach where the deadness is. This river is going to affect the dead water is going to become living water. As far as the eye can see. As far as you can imagine. There's a film that goes with this campaign, and there's a young man on there called Gabriel, and he is a health worker, and he has a little sort of put-put motorbike, And the film shows him, he goes into all of the most remote parts, places that people have forgotten, places that have fallen off the map. And he rides on this little motorbike for hours and hours. If he hears of one possible case of leprosy, he packs up all his stuff on the back of his motorbike and he goes. And that's what the River of God does. It goes to every little nook and cranny, every forgotten part of society, every forgotten person within people's consciousness. They're never out of God's focus. Ezekiel 47:12 is just an absolutely wonderful verse that I'd just like to pick out, because it really gives the picture of the change that comes when God comes. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. The things that grow when the river of God is flowing brings healing and brings life and brings hope and brings provision and brings blessing. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? And this is what we have been trying to bring to Mozambique, and we are, because of the generosity and love of our supporters, we're going to be able to. This lovely lady here with the wonderful smile, you can see, that's a bit ironic really, isn't it? But she's a wonderful lady called Zaina. And Zaina first found out that she had leprosy in her early life, and she was, as many are, banished from her village, thrown out. Her three-year-old child was taken off her, and she lived in the forests outside of community, outside of society. And she was found by somebody from the leprosy mission, and they built a dwelling for her in the forest. They helped her back to health. They gave her the multi-drug therapy treatment that we have. And she's now gone back to the village that threw her out. And she's become one of our, what we call, leprosy change makers. She has set up one of these community hubs. She's one of the leaders there. And she does talks to people about looking after their health if they can, and what help they can get if they've already contracted leprosy. And she is a champion for us. And she now is just a picture of the sort of change that we want to see in that nation. The very final verse of Ezekiel is the one that I'm going to sort of move towards the close of my message with this morning, because it's a verse that is just full of triumph. It's like this is the outworking, the end game, the final thing. When God comes, this is it. It says in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. From that day, the name of the city will be, "The Lord is there." Isn't that a great verse? The Lord is there. Now, you can always see when God's fingerprints are all over things, can't you? The Lord's been there. That's changed a community. It's changed an individual. It's changed a region. It's changed. And that is what the river of God, the presence of God, the power of God does. The whole place starts to have the name, "The Lord is there." Because it has all the hallmarks of his fingerprints all over things. Lives are changed. Hope's restored. Fruit is on the trees. People are living with this, I belong to God. There's a pulling back of the shoulders. Like Windsor Davis there for a minute. Pulling back of the... There's a name for you, Windsor Davis. I'm showing me age there, aren't I? But God wants us to be those who are. We belong to him. We're of a kingdom that's got some power about it, got some love about it, got some great results about it. And this whole message of unconditional love is what our world is crying out for right now. isn't it? More than anything else, people need to know, they want to know that they are loved unconditionally. And so, as we go forward in 2021, as a mission and as a church here and as those who belong to Jesus, God wants us to just be so secure in the fact that whatever's going on, He's given us. This morning we've all been giving elbows and stuff like that. It's actually a good picture that, even though I'm longing for the day when we can get back to hugs and shake hands and stuff. But actually, that picture of elbows is quite good, because God, in His grace, has given us a lot of elbow room. He wants us to know there's a lot of elbow room. He knows how tough it's been this last 18 months for everybody. And His grace is sufficient. And His unconditional love says to us all, just, I know what you've been through. There's nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. And so the message of unconditional love for Mozambique is the same as it is for Manchester, the same as it is for each of us individually. I want us to go away with that picture of this city. Our lives can have the banner over them. The Lord's here. The Lord is here. And when the Lord's here, nothing is impossible. Thank you again for being just a wonderful supporting church for our mission. And like I say, when things are back to, in inverted commas, normal, I know just before all of lockdown, Linda was putting an event together, like a coffee morning type thing. And we're just talking about the fact that once things towards the end of the summer happen again, open up again, that maybe we'll have that sort of event again. But it would be lovely to be involved with you in going forward in things. And like I say, thank you so much, Paul, for inviting me here this morning. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Thank you.